W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tornadoes tearing through the South, leaving at least 23 people dead in Mississippi. Vicksburg Mayor George Flagg says he's spoken with the mayor of nearby Rolling Forks, an area said to be leveled.
He did not have a good assessment at the time, and we stand ready.
A survivor found in the rubble overnight in West Reading, Pennsylvania, after an explosion at the Palmer Chocolate Factory. West Reading Borough Police Chief Wayne Holbin.
Two individuals that are deceased at this time, with the efforts still being put forth to find others.
Authorities say they're investigating the possibility that a gas leak may have been responsible. New attacks on U.S. bases following drone strikes in Syria that killed an American and left others injured. U.S. launching its own airstrikes in retaliation. Security tight in Lower Manhattan after authorities say death threats were made against the DA investigating former President Trump. This as the defiant former president holds the first rally of his 2024 campaign today in Waco, Texas. Dave Packer, ABC News. Americans John Dickens Toussaint and his wife Abigail allegedly being held for ransom in Haiti. Family members say the couple confirmed their arrival after flying from Fort Lauderdale last Saturday. ABC's Patrick Reval has more.
The family says the kidnappers demanded a ransom of $6,000 for the couple's release. But after the family wired the money, they demanded $200,000 more. Money the family say they don't have. The family now working with the FBI and the U.S. Embassy in Haiti to try and get answers and to get the couple home. The State Department telling ABC News, we are aware of reports of two U.S. citizens missing in Haiti, adding we work closely with local authorities as they carry out their search efforts.
For some, no matter how old and famous, naked simply isn't art.
Principal Hope Karaskia resigned after an ultimatum from the school board chairman. She says parents had issues with the lesson on Renaissance art that included Michelangelo's David sculpture, his creation of Adam painting on the ceiling of the Vatican Museum's Sistine Chapel. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Two American banks collapsed in the past week. As Eric Tegedoff reports, some consumers are considering alternatives like credit unions.
Troy Stang is head of the Go West Credit Union Association, which represents more than 300 credit unions in Oregon and five other states. He says tumult in the financial market historically generates interest in the local structure of credit unions.
Whether it was with the dot-com bust, whether it was with the activities that led up to the Great Recession, consumers at their kitchen tables started having these conversations more intentionally about who is it that we do our financial services with.
Silicon Valley Bank's collapse is the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history. To get depositors their money, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has stepped in. Stang notes that National Share Insurance Fund, administered by the National Credit Union Administration, is the equivalent regulator for his institutions and is paid for by the credit union system. Stang says credit unions are not-for-profit and member-owned.
We're not accountable to Wall Street investors. We're not accountable to other forces outside of our membership. And so it's a much different model.
Stang says many of the credit unions in his association have spent the last week reassuring customers and noting differences in their institution structure from others. He adds a strong financial system is important for consumers, regardless of which institution they bank with. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, folks. Welcome to the Cripescast. My guest today is the Dustin Nickerson. I was going to say the very funny, but I was like, everyone's very funny. You know, Colleen?
Mm-hmm.
Colleen Maraca, executive producer of the Cripescast, joins me. Dustin is one of my good comedy friends, one of my best comedy buddies. He's so great to like bounce ideas off, write jokes about or with, you know. I'm sure he has some. He's actually really good at roasting. I'm sure he has good jokes about me, like just waiting in the wings. We actually toured together a couple of years ago, right before COVID, in fact. He was touring with me in the Pacific Northwest. He is headlining now. He's going to be at the Milwaukee Improv August 24th. He was actually on with us on the Cripescast episode 43. So if you want to get a lot of Dustin's background and everything, you can go back and listen to that. But big news is he's got a new comedy special coming out this week. It's called Runs in the Family. It comes out March 28th on YouTube. Make sure you mark your calendars. Perfect date night thing. It's a free date night. I mean, how Midwest nice is that? Dustin's not even from the Midwest, but he's giving you a free date night for his special Runs in the Family March 28th on YouTube. Check it out. In the meantime, Colleen Maraca, how we doing? How
we're
we
doing
feeling?
Good. We're doing good.
Happy
spring.
Happy spring.
Yep.
Colleen Maraca, ladies and gentlemen, joining me in the booth.
We're back.
We are back. How was your wherever you were?
Where was I?
I don't know. I showed up to the office yesterday and you were like, "Hey, nice to see you. I haven't seen you in a month." I was like, time flies by.
Like not long enough.
Flies by. I can't believe it's been a month.
Right? Yeah.
Time burns by when you get older. Isn't that weird? What's that about?
Yeah, life's moving quick. You and Dustin talk about it in your episode about...
Do we really talk about that?
You guys talk about once you're 40, nobody calls you young anymore unless you die.
First of all, I'm not... Yeah, that was funny.
That's a short one this week. It's a good one. You're not 40. Let me just clarify for the audience.
No, I'm not.
Far from it.
What's wrong with being 40? I'm almost there. I'm 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
36 next month.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I was just walking with my friends yesterday by the lake and we're like, holy crap, we can't believe it's already middle of March.
It's already middle of March. Snow is melting.
Yeah.
And we're also going to get some more, but you know.
Are we?
Probably.
Well, yeah, my kickball league was supposed to start next week, but we got moved back.
Moved back because of the snow?
I didn't really fully read it, but I'm glad because it would have been really cold and I feel like I would have hurt myself pretty bad. So
yeah, you got to have those muscles warm, ladies and gentlemen. That is an important PSA that we give many PSAs here at the Cripescast.
Yep.
And that is stretch before you go play kickball.
Yes.
So that is that, folks. Oh, by the way, if you want to support the Cripescast before we get to this interview, make sure you head on over to mantwalkman.com. We've got so much great merch there. It's made in the USA, and I'm talking T-shirts, koozies, watch out. They say, watch out for deer. Tell your folks I says hi. We have sweatshirts, crew necks, really cool cribbage boards, which are made in Milwaukee. by a local group here, and
it's a 3-person one if you want to play with 3 people, which is fun.
Yeah, that is fun. 3-person yeah. cribbage is not often done, but fun when it is.
Yeah,
done. So, anyways, that's it. Let's get to my interview with Dustin. I mean, the only reason we're having this conversation is how many followers do you have?
Yeah, exactly. I wish I didn't know exactly. I mean, it should be 115K by the end of the day.
That's congratulations.
You know, it's funny. I talked to our mutual friend, Trevor Wallace, and he goes, hey man, just so you know, none of them feel better than 100K. And I was like, thanks.
that is really funny.
The climb is over, so
yeah. I don't that's interesting. That's probably true. Well, really, it's just anytime you get a certain number of followers, you just, that wears away very quickly, and then you're like, all right, now I gotta get 101, you know.
Well, it's, I remember talking to John about this years ago of like, the amount of followers you have to get, new followers, to get to feel something. Cause when you first get on, you're like every new follower. And then it's like every 100 new followers, and then every 1,000 new followers, and then every 10,000 new followers. And now once you're over like the 100 mark, you're like, well, I'd like that to be 150.
Yeah.
You're like, your increments of success. But as you also know, like, it is like very much like a one percenters thing in that, or it's like the Matthew principle, like, you, to whom those have given, much more is given. It's easier to get followers when you have followers. Cause I do that. Yeah. I'll see like a viral video and then I'll click on their profile and they'll have like 9,000 followers. And like, it's a fluke.
Oh yeah, is that how you operate there? Have you seen that
on a new follow? I'm like, have I seen them be like consistently good for a while?
That's like the, like, a lot of people will be doing this for a while and they'll be frustrated, and I'll talk to them and they'll be like, I just feel like I've been doing these videos, and they're good videos, and I've been doing them for a while and nothing's popping off. I'm like, that's like the hardest part and the work right there. Yep. Because as soon as you have one that just goes exponentially viral, they're going to do exactly what you did and be like, how long has this guy been doing it? And if you can the inspiring thing about that, one of the very few inspiring things about social media, is that content is still king. And if you do really good, funny videos for long enough, the it's very unfair. Some people whose stuff pops off quick and people who don't, it has nothing to do with how funny you are. But I think if you're, willing to keep being funny for free for long enough, like,
right,
it will take off.
Mm. Yeah. I think you're right.
Maybe that could be my privileged white guy with a big Midwest audience talking to you right now, you know?
I appreciate that you self-deprecated your own advice there. and you really hate yourself to that core level that you could say something so clearly inspirational and helpful. And go, but what do I know? I'm a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Well, I have to do that. That's what I have to do. Just in case. Yeah. And this is why I did it. Just in case there was somebody out there thinking it.
Yeah.
And because I am who I am, I assume there's at least 5 people thinking it. Between 5,000, you know.
I thought you were going to say it just in case the Catholicism is actually true.
Well, that. what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What exactly isn't true, huh?
You
non-denominational. Yeah. What's your denomination again? I forget, because you don't have one.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
We were the one that started in rebellion.
Oh, is that right? Well, I don't. So Martin Luther, that's a very nail in the
95 theses.
99 theses. You know, he's got 99 theses and a confession and one, nailing them to the deal. So like theatrical, you know, what did the non-denoms do? What the non-denoms do?
Isn't it? It's when you say it like that, it is a lot. And you know, you're like, you could have like had a lunch. You could have shared some of your points. So you're like, hey, I got some new thoughts. The nail on the door and all 95 of them seems a bit much. And the more when you read his writings and, you know, and stuff, you're like, all right, why don't you? I mean, I guess to start a new thing from the Catholic Church, you had to have a bit of drama to you, but still.
Do you think that he did he nailed each one to so he nailed 95 times?
No, I think it was on one sheet.
Do you think it was double-sided?
Or at least very long. It's in my mind, it's very scroll-like. You know?
Okay, okay.
It would be very funny if it was 95 because you would be like, listen, you just don't have efficient leadership skills. Time management issues. Right. Put it on all one piece of paper, buddy.
Right.
The Catholic Church, they've got their problems. Efficiency is not one of them. They are a tightly run operation.
Oh, they got the ship going. I'm trying to fix my hair. I feel like I look like I play lacrosse right now. So I'm trying to fix it. But
listen, I'm
Jimmy Neutron hair.
Listen, you are in my actual setup right here. Does it look like I'm standing? Because I am standing.
It does look like you're standing in your family guest bedroom because you got kicked out of your office.
So many funny assumptions there. one, that I can afford a guest bedroom. I think you forget I live in California. This is our bedroom. Thank you. The reason I'm standing is because earlier this week I threw out my back, and so I'm standing with a warm brand.
I love that for so many reasons. What is that?
That's show business, baby.
What is
show
that?
Business. It's a little warm pack. This thing came fresh out of the microwave. Look how, when we're here, I look like a presentable human being, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh yeah, this works on a podcast, you know, it's got a cool hat, it has the glass, and just here I'm just like every dad you've ever seen. I threw on the gray with it. I've got Birkenstocks on under here. It's a whole thing.
How'd you throw out your back?
Oh, age. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah, it was I overdid it when we had to get some stuff under the bed, and I looked at a bed and I was like, oh, I feel it happening. It's gonna hit tomorrow. And sure enough, I bent over. Have you ever had lower back spasms?
First of all, I love how closely, I think in one of your specials, you had a joke about someone throwing out their back and they threw it out something about the bed. I forget exactly joke was.
Holding, yeah, yeah. It was an old employee of mine. Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys just got to stay away from the beds. Yeah, I thought that since that was your joke, you would know that.
It's a very humiliating injury, lower back spasms, because it doesn't actually happen where you did something. It usually hits you a day or two later, mm-hmm. and it's an invisible injury. No, mm-hmm. nobody sees anything. They just hear you whimpering on the ground. And the first time my wife asked me about it, I was like, I feel like I'm having a baby through my butt. It hurts so bad.
Wow.
Like the contract, it feels like you're having contractions or something in your lower back.
It's back spasms, a baby through your.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm warning continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Snow likely this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 38. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 25. Highs level off around 43. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. 4 to 8 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
That I was thinking about, the thing is that in your 30s, people will still call you young, and in your 40s, people will go, "Will you still have your health?" Like, that's the line that they'll use. But yeah. You are right. The only part about being young in your 40s is if you die. Mm-hmm. It's a crime if one of us doesn't put that on stage. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's not that you're not so young. It's only, well, he was so young.
Yeah. But he was so young.
There
it is. It's being the old stuff. I'm drinking smoothies when I wake up, because like otherwise it's the only time in the day where I'm like, all right, I'll get the greens in. Speaking of this, and I spilt some smoothie because I drink it right out of the smoothie cup, because I'm not gonna buy like smoothies. I'm gonna get the little Nutribullet thing.
But
I don't want to get a cup to actually move the smoothie in, because that's like just wasting a cup, and then I got to wash that cup. So I drink it right out of the smoothie thing. But because it's got the little curls, it drips onto my shirt. Every morning, it drips onto my shirt. And I go like that, and it usually goes away. This morning, I forgot to go like that, and I just did an interview trying to promote my special.
I take it as a compliment that you didn't even think you needed to clean up for me. That you're that comfortable around me that you're like, I don't need to look in the mirror.
But first of all, that's very true. Second of all, I'm telling you, I'm not even talking about you, dude. I did a news interview right before I talked to you.
Oh, you're not talking about this?
No.
Oh,
no, you're doing this in your bedroom right now. Do you think I really care?
That's true.
I mean,
that's true. And I'm about to take this off, just so you know, because it's been enough time.
Take it off.
Now I'm loose.
You're feeling good, huh?
Yeah.
I've been doing, I actually did a new bit the other day on stage, also about lower back issues, because my lower back's been hurting. And I was doing it about, I was doing it wearing Hokas. Somebody told me, I've heard two things about Hokas. I've heard that they are cool and that they are very uncool. And I know them for a fact to be the most uncool shoe in the world. I mean, these every time I wear these, I feel like I should be walking to a parent teacher conference, you know?
Yeah. And I was going to say, as a dad, I rolled my eyes at those, that's disconcerting.
Yeah, okay. So let me explain why I'm wearing them. The only reason I'm wearing them is because of my lower back. They're the only thing. Like, I will walk around my house in Crocs, and my lower back hurts. I'll walk around in boots. Like, I have three pairs of shoes, one of which is Crocs. You know, and those. Those do, well, they have some stuff. But anyway,
Do you have the little things in them? The little what are they called?
I don't know. They're little tchotchkes.
Yeah. What do you have in yours?
I honestly don't know. Crocs sent me them because I'm just that cool.
Okay.
I'm just
Gibbets?
That cool.
Is that what it's called?
Gibbets. Thank you, Colleen.
There you go. Yeah. Gibbets. So your Crocs.
Do you have Gibbets in your Crocs?
I have a pair of Crocs. I don't find myself wearing them a lot. I find myself a little more of a sandal guy. It fits kind of my Birkenstocks, you know? And I think that checks out for me. I'm kind of a Birkenstocks granola type human. And my kids, though, wear them a lot. And they've got, like, the funny ones. They've got, like, Shrek, you know. Yeah. Shrek is so fun. Shrek's a real meme. Shrek is really passed down to this Gen Z generation. So they wear them constantly.
Yeah, they do. I want to do something in the middle of this to promote your special, just so people know if they're like, in case they tune out. I kind of want to treat this interview like a Terry Gross interview. If you're joining me now, my guest is Dustin Nickerson. He's a very funny stand-up comedian with 115 Instagram followers. you check it again.
It's like a live count, like a telethon. Yeah. Oh, no, it's going down.
Your special is out. Is coming out at the time this interview comes out. What's the name of the special? Where can people find it?
Depending on when this comes out. So the special's out March 28th. Uh-huh. It's called Runs in the Family, and it's on a little website called YouTube. You may have heard of it.
Yeah, I put mine out on YouTube too. Mine is also out at the time of this thing. How was it? What's it?
What's yours called?
Oh, you didn't watch the trailer I released on my channel 3 days ago?
No. I only see your sketches.
No.
I see a lot of your sketches though.
I do appreciate that. I see a lot of your videos too. They're very funny. I'm one of your 115. It's called Midwest Goodbye. What's yours called?
Runs in the Family.
Oh, yeah, you already said that.
Yeah, I did already say that. So, you know, you can get mad at me for not watching your trailer, or I can get mad at you for not hearing what I said less than 30 seconds ago. But that's cool that you got a special coming out soon. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Real cool. So how do you feel upon releasing? Is it all edited, done, up?
We're almost there. We're doing like the final fine tunes of like just like some small audio changes, a couple little edits here and there. Did you edit all yours yourself?
No. I mean,
okay.
Robbie, my buddy Robbie did. And then Max. I mean, I had like a lot of people on my team. Colleen, who's she's on the other end of listening to this. Hannah, like a bunch of people helped edit it, who worked
good
with me. Did you edit all of yours yourself?
No, mine is literally was directed and is edited by a dude that lives in a van named Alec Parent, who is a funny comic and a very good video guy. And he does a lot of like clips and records a lot of shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, could you piece together a special? Do you think we could do this? You know?
Yeah.
He's done a great job. Sometimes I'll be like, I can't believe that this all happened on a dude's laptop in a van.
That's great. Is he expensive?
No, I wouldn't have used him if he was. You don't get a guy who lives in a van because he's expensive. You get him for the opposite reason. You get him before he lives inside while he's cheap. He did a good job. But
that's,
you know,
awesome.
It's like, though, like, you know.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tornadoes tearing through the South, leaving at least 23 people dead in Mississippi. Vicksburg Mayor George Flagg says he's spoken with the mayor of nearby Rolling Forks, an area said to be leveled.
He did not have a good assessment at the time, and we stand ready.
A survivor found in the rubble overnight in West Reading, Pennsylvania, after an explosion at the Palmer Chocolate Factory. West Reading Borough Police Chief Wayne Holbin.
Two individuals that are deceased at this time. with the efforts still being put forth to find others.
Authorities say they're investigating the possibility that a gas leak may have been responsible. New attacks on U.S. bases following drone strikes in Syria that killed an American and left others injured. U.S. launching its own airstrikes in retaliation. Security tight in Lower Manhattan after authorities say death threats were made against the DA investigating former President Trump. This as the defiant former president holds the first rally of his 2024 campaign today in Waco, Texas. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Southeast Wisconsin could be in for a lot of wet and heavy snow tomorrow. Forecasters predict 5 to 8 inches of snow from Janesville, east to Kenosha, and north to Manitowoc. Madison and the Fox Valley should get 1 to 5 inches. It's supposed to come down fast enough to make roads slippery for a time, but it's warm enough that the snow won't stay on the ground for long. Majority Republicans on the Wisconsin State Building Commission are rejecting every recommendation in Governor Evers' capital budget request. Evers' capital budget request is the largest in at least a decade, coming in at almost $4 billion. Republicans are expected to approve a shorter list of building requests later this year. That's what they've been doing in the recent past. In sports, the Bucks are at Utah tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole. Over on
if you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hey, folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens, and I'm talking to my good buddy and fellow comedian, Dustin Nickerson, and you are listening to Civic Media. Would you consider yourself a clean comic?
Oh yeah, I'm a clean comic. Yeah,
but I mean, like, what's the line for that? Like, what can you not say to be a clean comic? Like, if your audience screams back at you, the Bears, is that's still clean? Because in the context, it's before the Bears, so it doesn't count, right?
Yeah, it is. That's a really interesting line on yours because that is the only time that there's swearing during your show.
Right.
Which is such a funny thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even, it doesn't even, like, in the context of knowing anything about the NFL in the Midwest, it doesn't even really feel like cursing.
Mm-mm. No, it's just a fact, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like when people are like, well, you know, like, you know, you shouldn't do drugs and alcohol is bad for you too. You're like, nah, alcohol doesn't count. Don't throw that in there.
Yeah.
I know you're technically right, but we all accept alcohol as a poison that we're allowed to consume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the many.
So, no, I'd still put you, I think you're safe. Plus, are you saying it? Or they just yell it at you?
They yell it at me. Yeah, they yell it at me. I actually didn't say it. The audience said it back at me twice, and I realized.
That's hilarious.
Now I forget why I was asking that question. In the special. Talking, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you were talking about Nate and being clean and.
Oh. Yeah, and so he did a lot of bits that, like someone, there will be a time when someone will do a bit where you're like,
yeah,
you know, you'll say all the not clean things because you're like, that was a bit that I almost could have thought of if I was better at what I did, you know?
Yep. Yeah. That's the compliment to the comic of like, it's also kind of funny and arrogant when you do that, when you're like, oh, I should have thought of that. I'm like, well, you didn't.
Yeah. You had literally a decade to think of that joke.
Yeah.
You've experienced this your whole life.
Yeah,
and you haven't done it. What makes you think you were just going to do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, if enough time would have passed, I would have gotten to it. Yeah. You're like, what? What are you talking about? You didn't think of it. They did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Nate is a great example of that, though, because Nate is so accessible and relatable that you just go, that was right there in front of me. How did I not think? Now, I will say this about Nate bits of like, I don't know if you ever try and quote a Nate bit. They're not funny unless he says them. He's like the package.
Yeah.
Like Nate, it's all like, I think that bit about like picking up ice is one of the funniest bits I've ever heard. And I don't even repeat it to people because I'm like, I'm not going to do this justice. Like,
no.
Because it's you got to hear him and the whole package of it and the accent and the low energy. And Nate's, he's so subtle up there. It's incredible.
It is. And you're right, because you're like, why? He does a lot of jokes, which is, why didn't I think of that? Which is usually, I did think of that. I just didn't think it was a bit. Like, I observed it.
That's good.
I know, like, noticing it, like, seeing it and observing it are two different things, you know?
Yeah. And then I go, and I'm not talented enough to make it funny.
Yeah, right. Like a better comedian would do really good with that, you know.
But you know your strengths at a certain point. It's so funny. I like, you know, this, I'm like working now on what will be like my third hour, you know. And I was talking to Taylor Tomlinson, who I tour with a lot right now, and I was like, I was doing the outline for the new hour. And I was like, so it's, I told her, I'm really switching it up this hour. I'm talking about aging, marriage, my kids, and my dad. And she laughed. I was like, that's all I've ever talked about. Those are the four. Everything, even if it's like a political joke or something like that, it's still under the umbrella of me talking about aging, marriage, my kids, or my dad. Those are it. Those are four topics that I got.
that's wildly surprising. You saying that is pretty surprising, because, by the way, I initially brought up Nate too, also to say that in a lot of ways you as much as you're putting yourself down, self-deprecating, you know, if I were Netflix, I would be recommending you in the same vein as Nate. You know, your stuff
nice.
Is hilarious, and it's also it is. Although I'm going in two different places. You did do a lot of funny stuff around, like when you did your pandemic show, you did a lot of like, you know, those kinds of things, but I guess it was in context with like what was all going on there.
But
it was very funny.
You are right. There is I guess, you know what it is like there's specials and then there's like, like the shows that I did with Kev, like Kev on Stage, and like the only white comedian for the all black crowd and stuff like that. Those almost feel like timely, like appearances almost.
Oh, that's the way you would call that.
Yeah. A lot of those are like, because I was like, I'm going to post a lot of this material and a lot of it's not going to be in a special anywhere. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of different in that I usually write jokes for at least half that set usually is stuff that I wrote for that show or have been like things that I've just kind of been like riffing about or maybe doing like locally, like COVID jokes or there's a lot of BLM stuff in there. And, you know, like that you're like, okay, or vaccine jokes or something like that, that you're like, but you know, I don't know if you think this, like there's not, I was telling this to Mel from the time that Kobe died to, I think the insurrection, I think that 2 year span, everybody was talking about the same thing simultaneously. We were all, it all went from Kobe died, and then we went straight into COVID, and then we went straight into the BLM stuff, and then we had an election, and then we had vaccines, or we went vaccine stuff, election, vaccine stuff, insurrection. We were all talking about the one same thing simultaneously, and I don't think that's the case anymore. Like, I don't, it doesn't feel like we have, like, groupthink the way we used to. Where everyone is like, this is the one issue that we're talking about. So when I felt like during the pandemic, I was like, you have to talk about some of these things because it's literally what everybody is thinking about. Like if January 7th, you did stand-up comedy and you didn't acknowledge the insurrection the day before, you're like, what are you doing?
Right, right.
There has to be at least some nod to that. Like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I flew in today. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I just got back from storming the Capitol. I don't know what your joke was. Like, yeah. It felt like you had to say something. And I have not been doing nearly as much like topical stuff since then because I just don't feel a need to. Because people are like, yeah, just do your act, man. I'm here for the act, baby. Make fun of the city I'm in, and then let's go.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think it's there's just I get so exhausted. I mean, I've got some jokes that I think overarching say stuff about sort of where we are to a degree, but I did the news kind of thing for so long. Even before the Manitowoc Minute, it was like a lot of headline punchline type stuff. And following that and trying to figure out if a story's going to live long enough to make the video worth doing and that whole like deal. And then seeing a video you put a lot of work into have a very short shelf life because you're always chasing the newsroom. It's just it was so exhausting that. Yeah. And that's from, I guess, making a video standpoint. Doing a joke on stage is that's something I still do quite a bit. But the video aspect, that's a lot to.
Do. You're right though that like you know that's the problem with topical stuff. It has a really short shelf life, and I think one of the best jokes I ever wrote was a vaccine joke about I don't even remember like, about the Johnson & Johnson that I didn't trust it because it was two shots, and I didn't like how they were in a meeting and they're like, hey, all the other vaccines are one shot, but like remember what we did with shampoo and conditioner. You know, and then I did like a full act out, the two become one. That was an incredible joke. Like, I'm complimenting myself. That is such a funny joke. And it would murder. It would like bring the house down. And then you're like, and then you just felt it diminishing on stage because everyone's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about this. And nobody remembers how many shots the Johnson & Johnson was or anything like that. And that's the hard part with topical material. You're like, oh, I wrote this incredible thing and now it's dead.
Right. Like here's what I would do. I would go to, like the thing, like Newser, some like aggregating website and look for like a red one, you know, that means this is a big deal. Patricia Heaton has incredible response to Don Lemon. I'm not even going to pretend like I know what, and that's like, that's a big newsmaker story. I have no idea what the hell, honestly, I'm not, do you know Patricia Heaton well?
I know who she is, yeah, and she was, Everybody Loves Raymond, right? The wife?
Yeah. I didn't know. I was like, is she a politician? I should know. That's, you know.
I think she is very political now. I think she's, yeah. I think that
is she right or left? I really don't know.
Right. I don't know that. Yeah. I'm guessing there.
But I'm so much happier not knowing that.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah. So anyway,
I do it now. I'll do it like on Twitter. I'll go like, what's trending? Is there anything that everyone, and now it's like mostly sports.
Yeah.
And I'm things are back to the way they should be.
Yeah. I also think Twitter changed a lot. Cause now,
Elon?
I don't really go on anymore because like there's so much crap on Twitter. At one point in my life, I just followed a lot of people to try and get them to follow me back. You know,
right.
like early in my, when they were like, you just need followers, you know, like I'm old enough that like the acceptable thing to do was to then go follow a bunch of people. So they follow you back.
Right.
Consequently, I think a lot of people and I don't really have a feed. And then, so if I'm going to figure out, I usually use the hashtag thing, but now like everybody's got a hashtag. So I don't even know what I'm supposed to care about, you know?
I mean, I would say that's a middle-aged problem in general of that. I don't know what I'm supposed to care about anymore.
Yeah.
Can you someone think just about the things you're passionate about in your 20s and you're like, oh
yeah.
Like you see your old Facebook memory post and you're like, oh no, there's no one I hate more on this planet than my former self.
Yeah. I know.
Oh my God.
I think there's a lot, like there's a lot going on in this world and there's a lot of good you can do and there's a lot of good you can do by caring. But I think, you know, just getting swept up in whatever is like, there are some people who I know if there's some, like whatever they're going to post is going to make some big issue out of something that, you know, right. they just learned about 2 days ago. Like, and now they're a frickin' expert. And anyone who disagrees with the 2 days of research they did, and by That's 2 days, I mean 2 hours, they just, then they're a bad person. And I don't even care what side of the issue you're on. It's just, we all know those people and there's nothing more than exhausting. And I also fear that at one point in my life, I may have been that person, which is.
Yeah, which is the real fear. I think what it is there are a lot of issues that I care about and that you care about. I tend not to care a lot about the people who are always talking about that issue.
Right.
Because we are like enough in this world of like, where you're like, you don't actually care about that issue. You're just trying to grow a platform or upset people or, you know, be a troll.
That's whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That's what's upsetting me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You like, you know, so many, and we see comics do this of like, you don't care about this.
Right.
You've just found a little following here. You don't, you know, it's very like politician of them.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm warning continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Snow likely this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 38. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 25. Highs level off around 43. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. 4 to 8 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
To take these in the hospitals, but Charlie, I don't know.
Remember when we couldn't find them?
Oh, remember when? Yes. Yeah. Did we bring this up?
We were together right when this all was happening. I don't think we've talked about this.
Did
we were like on the eve of the end of the world together?
Wait. When was the last time you were on this podcast?
I'm not sure. I think it might have been when my last special came out, which would have been. So it was after we worked together. So maybe okay. We did talk about it.
Well, let's talk about the story. Oh, Colleen says April of 2021, episode 42. Thank you, Colleen.
It was for the book. We might not have talked about it then.
Okay. All right. So tell the story. Where were we?
This was February 2020. This would have been like mid-February 2020.
In fact, hang on, I'm going to give a little more detail to this. As I just say, tell the story. I'm going to jump in.
Let's do it together. Baby.
Okay. So I'm landing in Seattle, I think, Tacoma, maybe.
Yes.
And as I literally pick up my phone, you know, doing the thing when the entire plane is turning their phone on and the first thing it says is first case of coronavirus, which I think is what it was called back then. First case of coronavirus lands in Washington.
As in Seattle.
Washington State, as I literally am landing. I'm like, oh, shit. Wow.
I was opening for you. We were doing a run of shows in Tacoma, Portland, and Spokane. Spokane was second. Portland was last, I think. I think we went Tacoma, Portland, or Tacoma, Spokane, Portland.
Uh-huh.
And so we're driving. We are like, we're just kind of like casually talking about like, oh, COVID, what's going to happen? Wash your hands, everybody. It's the new monkeypox or whatever. We don't know. Being stupid. And we're driving over the Cascades into Eastern Washington, which I've done a bunch, and it's like kind of rural and desolate out there. And we're like, we should make a video about masks, like designing your own mask, or like, hey, everyone has a mask. Let's have like a fashion mask. Like that was the idea, was like, you know, making, and this was like, and now we're like, that's like an actual product that people have worn for 2 years now, but this was forever ago. And we were like, let's go try and find one, right?
Yeah.
And we couldn't find one. Like we were in the early times where they were getting masks scooped up. Like we went to like Home Depot, we went to like arts and crafts stores.
Yeah, you couldn't find a wood mat or one for wood particles that didn't even do anything. You couldn't find it at all. And this was shortly after. And also, by the way, at this point, the people buying the masks is the exact people, for the most part, if I were to generalize, the people who were buying masks early are the people who were not wearing masks after the fact.
Hilarious.
That's what I remember. In fact, because I think the sketch was going to be something about how something to that tune of how they were, like they said that the mask didn't work. They said it didn't work. So,
that's right.
And of course, I was like, oh, these people know what they're talking about. But no, they were just lying, dude.
Right.
I think that was the first mess up in that whole thing, is that you couldn't just tell people, no, the masks work to a degree, but we just need these for doctors. So they don't, they're the most important people to a degree.
Yeah. It's so funny to like look back and try and remember what we were thinking at whatever time, because I forgot there was that era where it was bad to have a mask because they're like, the doctors need these, and you're like, oh wait, what's So I'm supposed to wear one, but not. Oh, okay.
They said two things, though. They said two things. They said the mask was ineffective, but also we need the masks for the doctors or whatever.
Right. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. They were lying. They were saying they're ineffective so we wouldn't buy them, right?
Yeah. It's like as soon as you do that, no wonder everything went out the window. Like that's like as soon as you start lying, it all goes to hell, because then no one's got any basis. Nobody trusts anyone to begin with. And now you're doing that.
Well, and that's just showing that they're not trusting Americans to be like, hey, doctors need these. And Americans are like, friggin' doctors, I need these.
Yeah, I know. But that's
which
the thing
they are
about
right to think that.
Right. That's the thing about America, though. You try to correct it by thinking you know how they're going to react, you know?
Yeah.
And then America just does like the most, I mean, that's just not knowing Americans, I guess, saying that.
Yeah. Like, no, we'll find out the truth. We will. We'll throw your tea in the harbor. We don't friggin' care.
Exactly. We will find out your truth and discover that our truth is more fun to believe, and we're just going to believe that, you know? It's just more fun. And then there are these people who are like, I can sell a bunch of stuff by that, you know. And then
I know a lot of people like lost a lot of trust in the CDC during that time. I have never trusted the CDC, because the CDC is the one who says that if you have more than two drinks in a day, you've got a problem. And that's not true.
that can't be true, can it?
It's hogwash. There's not a thing coming out from that agency that I trust ever. That's that. What are you gonna, next thing you're gonna tell me that a pregnant woman can't drink? Come on.
Oh man. Yeah.
It's so interesting to look back on those, we'll Mel and I will do that, of just like, we'll drive by and we'll be like, remember when our beach, because we live in San Diego, remember when the beaches were closed? They closed the beaches because they thought, and then in hindsight, like, that's the literal best thing you could do, just to go be outside.
Oh my God.
In the sun.
I know. Yeah. I know. Closing, you're like, really? Like going to the windiest, the biggest, windiest place I can think of? That's going to be bad?
We had an era there where AA meetings were closed, but liquor stores were open. And you're like, there was another one that I remember we were driving by, like, you weren't allowed to have like parties or gatherings, but like Party City was still open. You're like, God, what? Just be, tell us one thing. Just let us be consistent and understanding on one of these things, please.
Dude, all I know is that at some point in human history, there's going to be a contagion type disease and we're just all going to die for sure. We're not capable as people of handling like that, you know, at all.
Yeah.
And right now, Earth is like in the process of like, they tried to get rid of us, you know, like, but the scientists of Earth, created the whole COVID thing, to try and kill off humanity to save the planet, are like, you know what? We know what to do now. This vaccine didn't work. We've got another vaccine. And that's just like airborne disease with conspiracy theory.
I think that you just like what's one of the funny thing that just about Americans is like, hey man, like we started in revolution. That's where it started. Mm-hmm. We're like, right. I mean, there's some king on the other side of the water. Yeah, I don't care about that. And it's just never really went away. We're just a very natural, rebellious country. Even to, we'll rebel against each other, and then we were at war with each other a few years later.
we've got very third child vibes, you know. America's,
we're like, F you dad, and we're like, F you brother, and now we're like,
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Dave.